Supermind Radio, episode number one. Hello everyone, this is Mono Wind, your host, and we're here again with Nirvana.
Hi everyone.
So today, we are going to talk about the Supermind perspective and the ultimate truth. Our Supermind perspective is based on the ultimate truth, which is why we're going to begin with that. The ultimate truth is the truth that is true for everyone, anywhere in the universe. There is not one consciousness or being that is not, a subject to these rules. In any dimension, this is always true. Well, except in the human mind when you contradict it with the opposite, with the virus concepts. But even then, it remains true and you will understand exactly what I'm saying. So let's talk a little bit now about these four original concepts that represent the ultimate truth. And they're also the foundation of the entire universe, because the universe is a mind, it's a consciousness, and it's made of thoughts. So thoughts that are combined into concepts. So it's all about thoughts and concepts. So these four concepts, they're more like 3+1, and I'll tell you why, are basically the first concepts, the basic concepts. They are what every other concept connects to. It always goes down to these four concepts. The first one being life, as we call it, just if we have to use one single word. But the thought that defines this concept would be, I live forever. So what does that mean? It means that I am a consciousness, I'm a mind. That is my highest, most complete and ultimate form. I have many forms in different dimensions, like this human form, which we call the avatar. But all of these forms, they originate from my ultimate mind, my imagination, which is why I'm called the original mind. Now, I exist because I think that I exist. And this is the first and main reason that I will exist forever, because I will always think that I exist. The other three reasons that I exist forever are the next fundamental original concept. So the second one, we call it freedom or absolute freedom. The thought that, let's say, defines it would be, I am absolutely free. And what does that mean? It means that I choose my thoughts. No other mind, consciousness, soul, entity, being, whatever it is, can choose my thoughts for me. My mind is absolutely independent from all factors in existence, except my own self, because I control this mind, and my free will is absolute. It's indisputable and it's non-transferable. And I cannot lend it to anybody else. I cannot let someone else choose my thoughts for me, and no one can decide to enter my mind and somehow control my focus. That's impossible. So this is what absolute freedom means, my ability to choose my thoughts. The third one, it's really the principle of the law of attraction, which we call the supreme law or the one law or just the law. The thought that defines this principle is, I create my reality. But how do I create my reality? I use the law to create my reality. That's why I can create it, because I have this principle to turn my thoughts into experiences. The power of the law of attraction is also absolute. The law is consistent. It never makes mistakes. There are no exceptions. It responds to my vibration, and it gives me matching circumstances and situations at the core of which are my emotions. But what I mean by vibration, well, the thing is that thoughts vibrate. That's just the fact. And me thinking thoughts with my mind, I acquire the vibration of the thoughts that I'm thinking. And that's why we say that I get this vibration. it depends on the thoughts that I'm thinking. I literally imbue the vibration of these thoughts. And my vibration attracts more of the thoughts that I'm thinking. It will give me more thoughts of the same vibration, always. And it will also consequently give me situations and circumstances, which we call reality, you know, experiences. And I experience my thoughts this way. Now, the fourth principle is not exactly a concept because it's really an emotion. But let's say that it's the idea of love, and more precisely, the truth that I love my game, the game of life. Now, using my power to focus, my free will and the law, I can basically create anything. I can experience the most pleasant emotions and new emotions. I can do absolutely anything. And this is the reason I love my game, because I'm absolutely free to do anything I want and I can have so much fun. Which is why with the fourth concept, we circle back to the first one and you understand why I choose to exist forever, because my game is fun. So these are the four fundamental concepts. Do you have anything to add, Nirvana?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay.
I think you summed it up perfectly, though.
Yeah, it's very basic, but we're going to talk about this so much in the future because we always, every single concept that you think or thought always goes back down to the original concept. Sometimes, however, it goes down to their opposites, which we call the four fundamental virus concepts. They're basically the opposite of these, the mirror images. So the first one being life or I live forever, it's death and I will cease to exist, is the thought that we can say, you know, sums it up. So here, this idea, you can hold this concept in your mind as a belief. You can believe that. Never completely. I don't think anyone ever completely believes that, but you can believe it quite enough because until a certain point, the human mind is pretty limited and it only sees what it perceives with the five physical senses, and it perceives what we call the illusion, this three-dimensional, this physical reality. And the five physical senses, though, they deliver they translate the vibration into images and sounds and physical sensations and tastes and smells. And that's how you create this reality. This reality outside of you is a sum of these experiences through the five senses. And people just end up concluding that this reality is all there is because they trust their five senses and that's it. It stops there. But we have a sixth sense that we actually consider to be the zero sense. There's six, but the superminds always start counting from zero. Zero and one are the zero is consciousness and one is matter or the manifestation of consciousness, because it doesn't have to be matter necessarily, but okay, so the zero emotion, the zero sense is the emotion, the sense of emotion. And we're going to talk about the sense of emotion and the emotional navigation system next time. But now we just have to say that because of the way we perceive this world, and we don't even consider the sense of emotion to be a part of our senses, it's just something that we don't even understand. I mean, feelings, they're not practical, they're not tangible like everything else that the five senses deliver, and therefore they're not important because they're not material. And when you don't understand what this reality represents, what it really is, and that it's all just vibrational and it's all just one big imagination, you might think that your body is all there is to you. That's all there is to you. There's nothing more. This is your complete self. You don't have a higher self because, again, it's invisible. It's not tangible. So you think that your body is all there is to you. You are this material form. And it's a fact that the body will die because the human avatars are temporary forms. They're temporary manifestations of thought. And they always, you know, they have a beginning and an end. They always expire. And we're going to talk a lot about why and so on. But for now, we want to discuss this idea of where, you know, the concept of death and the idea that you will cease to exist. Your entire self will just come to an end and you will be no more. You will be nowhere in the universe anymore. And next time when we talk about emotions and how to use them, you will be able to check with your emotions how untrue this concept is, because it doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good to think that you'll never exist. The second virus concept is the opposite of absolute freedom, and it's about you not really being able to choose your thoughts because you're a reactionary being. So what you see, hear, smell, touch, and feel with your skin determines your thoughts, and therefore, and by consequence, your emotions, because, you know, we'll talk about what emotions are, but let's just say here that emotions indicate the vibration of thoughts. So my experiences are defined by my surroundings, by other people's behavior, by the structure of the system or the environment, by nature, and so on and so on. My reality, my external reality, that which is a manifestation of my mind, actually ends up influencing my experience, because I cannot choose nor change my thoughts at will. I'm just a reactionary being. So the second virus concept, we call it the concept of victim. You're a victim of, you're dependent, you're a victim of circumstances. And you have no control over the factors because you don't even know that you create your reality with thoughts. You know, of course, these virus concepts, they're truly powerful in a mind that does not see beyond the third dimension. So the third one, which is the law, the one word I have given it is order. Because there is this perfect order in the universe because of the law of attraction. The law just keeps everything in perfect order and balance. So it's the opposite of I create my reality through the law. It's I do not create my reality because reality is just, it just happens. It's a subject to luck and chance and unregulated coincidences. And there are no concrete and absolute rules to reality creation. There is no consciousness that designs life. It's just a random, these random occurrences. That's what reality is. Well, that's the third virus concept. And the one word we define it with is chaos. The fourth one, there's no fifth one. The fourth one is the opposite of love, of course. It's, I don't love my game. I hate my game because if all these things are true, that I'm going to die, that I am a total victim of every circumstance and event and every person and their words, it's extremely tiring and exhausting. And I don't create my reality. I can, and like a brick can fall on my head anytime, just like that. And no one decides whether that should happen or not. It just could happen. If I live by those rules, I will definitely not enjoy my life that much. And this is the reason most people suffer, because they hold these concepts as true in their minds. And we call these concepts the fundamental viruses. Then from there are many different branches, and, you know, the whole thing that we call virus mind is just a bunch of thoughts and concepts that ultimately relate back down to they all come from this foundation. Just like the original concept, every single thought you can ever think, every single thought that has ever thought and will be thought in the universe has the foundation, the roots in these four concepts. And in the physical world, some thoughts can have the roots in the virus concepts. Ultimately, though, they go down to the original concept because it's the other side of the same coin. If you think that you'll die and you will not exist anymore, that's because deep down you know that's not true. And you experience an incredibly bad emotion because the original concept is inside you. Every mind comes with these original concepts that say integrated in the mind by default. Well, that's technically not true. The truth is that you as a human mind, your human mind, has a center, that self that you are. And you share that center, you share that self with your original mind. And the original mind holds these four concepts. So you will always have them in your mind. But when you have viruses, you basically hold the two contradictory concepts. You have these concepts and the opposite of that. And suffering is just a result of this constant battle between these opposing truths. Because you have, when you come into this world, you build your truths. You build your perspective based on what people tell you, what you perceive with the five senses. Your environment shapes your ideas of what it really is. And you end up believing in those things to a certain extent. And then they are at odds with the original concepts that always live inside you. So this is the basis. This is the basis. And we, as virus fighters, the superminds, that's our, for now, we're in the process, in the period of transitioning from what we now call regular humans. Regular humans are people who do not have not realized that they have an OM, that is an original mind, a higher consciousness. They don't know there's another self. They don't know what the game's about. They don't know why they're here, what's going on in this world. And they are just letting their minds choose different thoughts at random. And yeah, they're reactionary beings most of the time. We, on the other hand, we try at least not to do that. But of course, well, at least Nirvana and I, we were born in normal families. And in fact, both of us have had very difficult childhoods with the virus concept dominating our experience so much that a lot of those concepts were integrated in our minds. And when we remember the original concepts and the ultimate truth, we want now to eradicate those virus concepts. But it's not that easy because beliefs are a part of the mind pattern, of the mind makeup. You cannot just extrapolate a belief because it connects to every other single belief you have. It's just all interwoven and you can't just cut it off because the mind would protect itself, and you have to put something else in its place, which is why the process of reconfiguring your mind or killing viruses is actually overriding these beliefs that you don't want to hold with the opposite beliefs. But again, a belief is constructed through experience. Therefore, you cannot just tell yourself, oh, you know what? I live forever. I will not be afraid of death. Because your experiences in your life might have brought you to the point of where you're afraid of death because you don't know, you don't have the experience of what death is. Therefore, you're by default afraid of death. And just in purely intellectually knowing, because somebody tells you and you feel the resonance of that truth, is just not enough. You have to have certain experiences. And that's why I call it experiential knowledge. You have to integrate this new data through experience so then the mind can itself override the old concept. And of course, this process is long. Sometimes it's very painful, but we're super brave. We're warriors and we'll not give up. Even if we wanted to, we can't. You know, once you start on this path, and we said this in the previous podcast, you're born a supermind and your intentions have put you in a certain family, country and everything. You know, the whole setting you're born into. Usually for superminds, I believe, at least for us for now, the setting you grow up in actually is such that you do acquire lots of viruses, so you can then be a virus fighter and reconfigure this mind. That is your job. That's what you've come here to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, transcend the boundaries of the illusion and create the next dimension, which is the fifth dimension. And now we are transitioning from the fourth to the fifth, which means sometimes you're in the fifth dimension where you are on the highest vibration and you can see life through the eyes of your own. And sometimes you're in the third dimension, and sometimes you're even in virus land, which is like the worst part, the darkest part of the third dimension. And you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So this is the process, the period of transition. And we call it the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is the transitionary dimension. But dimension is not a physical thing. Dimension is a state of mind. So the fifth dimension of the mind is basically a state of mind where you can perceive life through the eyes of your own or through this highest perspective. And you don't have viruses, or you can control them, you know, or you can quarantine them. Oh, there's so much we can say about that. We're going to talk a lot about the war against virus mind, as we call it. And it's a long, long process. I've been into this for 10 years now, and Nirvana for, I don't know, 5 to 6 years. And it's far from over, and we don't want it to be. It's perfect the way it's going anyway. And the goal is to reach this fifth dimensional, to lock the mind, and not to lock the mind, but to, like, you know, attain this a level where the mind is expanded enough and clean enough of viruses so it can be stable in this fifth dimension and be able to perceive everything from that perspective, which is the original, the purest perspective. But, you know, this will happen for all humans. The human species on this planet is now transitioning in towards this. We're moving towards this fifth dimension, and it's going to take probably much longer than anybody expects, but we're not in a hurry because we live forever. And this is who we are. We are consciously transitioning, working on our minds from another vantage point, from the vantage point of the one who's in control of her mind. And we do our best, you know. The mind fights back. It wants to keep its status quo. It doesn't want to change. And you have to find new ways, you know, to experience the original concepts, so the mind would willingly erase a little bit more of the code of the virus mind, a little bit more every time, a little bit more, just a tiny, tiny piece of this algorithm every day through your experiences. You manage to override and substitute with the original concept. And I think that this is all for now that I can say about the Supermind perspective. And the most important tool we use is the emotional navigation system. We're going to talk about this next time. For now, if you have any questions, and Nirvana might want to add something.
No, I don't have anything to add. That really is like the foundation. I just want to say that the war against virus mind is your game, and it's super fun. So, yeah.
Right. Well, maybe it will be nice to talk about how you become a supermind. You know, for me, I was on this path, I think, since I was born, because every single circumstance, when I look back, just led me to this point. And when I was 8 years old, I asked this question: where do we go when we die? Because my grandfather died and nobody could tell me where he went. And I was trained by my father before that. He said that there was no question that didn't have an answer. And I would not accept ever that I could ask a question and not receive an answer. And then all of a sudden, there was a question to which nobody had any answer. Like, not even, like, you know how adults sometimes would just lie to you and tell you something so you would forget and defocus or whatever. But with this one, they just said nobody knows. And I was like, what? Nobody knows? That's not possible. I knew it wasn't possible because up until that time, I had the OMS in my head. And they always talked to me and they told me, they said, yeah, well, you're going to go and find somebody who can explain. And if you don't find anybody, you'll find out yourself. And I just sent out this intention so clearly. I remember how it shot out of me like a shooting star, but going up towards the center of the universe. And I was like, yes, I'm going to find out what happens to people after they die. The very next day, my life turned into a nightmare. It had been a perfect fairy tale, the most amazing adventure until that point. And I was 8 years old, and it was the opposite from that point until 33. It was just this very long and extremely painful path of looking for the answer. What happens? I actually was so miserable in my teenage years that I expanded that question a little bit. I was mad at the creators of this reality, of this world, because I knew there was somebody behind it. I just knew that. And I just wanted to meet that person. I knew it wasn't a god. I knew it wasn't a human, but I didn't know what it was. I just wanted to talk to them and be like, and say, what were you thinking? Why would you create this horrible world? Because my life was a total nightmare and I did not want to live. And I had decided to kill myself, but I was a very reasonable person and I wanted to know what would happen after I did that. I could not just jump into oblivion without knowing, you know, what's going to happen. And I started on the path of looking for these answers, and everything I've done, everything in my life was under this, let's say, the umbrella of this quest. Nothing mattered. I could not follow these rules of society and be like, okay, just get married, get a job, you know, get a house, and then you'll grow old, you'll have a pension, and you'll go on trips, you'll go out on Friday night to drink, and all these rules, they were so pointless to me. I just kept asking people, how are we just going to follow these rules if we don't even know what game we're playing? Like, why are we here? I first need to know why I'm here. And I don't think I'm here just to get married. At least I have to know where I'm going, where I came from. And I somehow knew it was the same place. I would go where I had come from. So I set out on this quest, and every single thing that happened in my life just kept leading me to that. And it took 25 years after that shift of my reality when I was 8 years old until 33, when I actually went home. I call this experience going home. I think that's the true meaning of enlightenment that I experienced. But most people, when they talk about enlightenment, because I've met lots of gurus and people who just believe they've reached the highest, point of awareness or the highest truth, they have not been where I've been. I became my OM. I did not just meet my OM. Usually these people, they meet their OMs and they give the OM some kind of name, and they are in communication, but they don't really know what exactly is going on. I became my OM. I just transitioned back to who I am when I'm not in this body, so to speak. And I was my OM for 30 seconds. And I remembered everything. I remembered these original concepts and the basic rules of the game. I remembered the law and how I control my thoughts and how my thoughts are everything. I'm just thoughts. There's nothing but thoughts. It's just everything is within my imagination. But the law is magnificent because it can make the imaginary thing real. That's what the physical world is. Imagination turned into something tangible and real. And then one day I'm going to talk about what happened after it's been 10 years since then. And I thought I was going to change my reality within a month. I was going to have everything that I wanted. I was going to turn my life into this amazing adventure again. It was, I was in for a big surprise, because the first 2 years I was just running from my viruses and all the manifestations, because I stirred them all up. And in that period, the first 4 years, I was just looking at my mind and learning what it is, like how it's designed, how it's programmed, and how the law delivers reality based on your thoughts. I was just exploring everything. It was a very intense time. Lots of things were happening to me. I was traveling so much and meeting so many people, and I was in so many situations. Every day I would have like 5-6 different crazy situations, and I would have to decipher them, and it was so intense. And then eventually I kind of, you know, slowed down, and I found my balance. But before that, you know, I ended up in an ashram where I think that I stayed there for 1 year and 4 months. And I think I would say that 1 year in an ashram like that, if, especially if you're conscious about what you're doing, is equal to 10 years outside. So my journey of 10 years is actually 20. And that's where I met Nirvana. And the interesting thing is that I had just completely given up telling anybody about the truth, the ultimate truth and everything. I tried, partly because I felt so alone, and partly because, you know, you always want to save people. You want to, like, I don't know, it's just like a human thing where you want to connect so badly, and you want to connect through your mind. You want to be on the same level with another human to understand the same concepts. Otherwise, you're very alone. And I was just with the OMS all the time, and no human. I could not connect to any human, and I felt so detached and outside of this world. And in the ashram, I gave up. I was like, that's it. I'm not talking to anybody anymore, because it was, I didn't get the right reactions, and I didn't get any understanding. I didn't get any connection. The moment I gave up completely, I had decided that the next person who I would talk about these things would have to fish them out of me and like force me to open my mouth. And then she showed up. Oh, Frisky. She was like 17 or 18. How old were you then?
I was 17.
Right, you were 17 and I was 37? I don't know, 38? I don't know what the difference is between.
I don't remember.
Yeah, or something like that. There's like 19 years between us. And she was like, oh, Frisky. And she was like all over the place. And I was amazed by her energy. But the ashram experiences, if like you cannot really understand unless you've been to an ashram, so we can't explain, but it's a very specific environment where everything is calculated, everything is super magnified. And then she shows up with this energy, and I honestly have no idea what was the first question that you asked. You said something, and I just had to answer according to this truth, that perspective. And for the first time ever, I had somebody just, it just went from there. She was just like, okay, no. So next question and next question. I need to know. And next question and next question. And I just, in one afternoon, I told her everything. It's not that hard. I just told you everything in like 10 minutes. And she just ran with it. She was like, okay, this is the first time something makes sense, right?
Yep. Yeah. So it's so funny to even think back to my life, because I don't often think about, I don't often try and tell my story, but when I was a child and when I was born, I was super curious, and I just wanted to know, like, why we were here, why we had these lives, like what this earth was, where we all came from. And I was always asking these questions as a child, and I was very surprised to find out that nobody knew, nobody had the answers. And that was something that stood out to me, and it really just stuck with me throughout my entire childhood. And I think I would say that I had a very difficult childhood. I had a lot of contrast as a child, and now looking back, I realize that the situations and the experiences that I had in my childhood, they really asked me to, they pushed me to ask a few questions. And I look back now and I realize that those questions really were centered on who I am. I was always asking the question, who am I? Where do I come from? What is this world? You know, do I have freedom? Do I not have freedom? Because as a child, I did feel like I this sense of freedom, but then it started to get compromised and pretty much get taken away by all these adults around me. And through these contrasts and these experiences, they created a lot of pain, but they also created a lot of asking inside me. And I think when I was about 12 or 13, I started to go through what I can honestly describe as just a dark night of the soul. I was in a state of depression and despair and just like fear and sadness all the time. And the external circumstances that were going on in my life, like things with school, with my family, like it all built up to just a climax, and I was just ready to kill myself. And right. I'm like on this podcast, I was ready to kill myself, but I truly was ready to kill myself. And I actually did try to kill myself. And this me trying to kill myself led my parents when I was 14 years old to basically concluding that I had like just problems and that I needed to be sent away. So they sent me away to an ashram, and I arrived at the ashram right when on my 15th birthday was one of my very first days in the ashram. I remember. And I remember when I first got to the ashram, they have this practice there called Yoga Nidra. And basically you lie down in Shavasana for 20 minutes and you just like relax. And it was, I think, my first day there, and there was so much turmoil in my life. Like, I had just broken up with my very first boyfriend. I was going through all sorts of things. And when I laid down for Yoga Nidra, I felt this sense of like deep peace that was just so beautiful. And this like voice in my head, this voice in my head, which I now know it was the Om's, was like, there, you're in the right place. Everything is going to work itself out. Just stay here and enjoy. And that's exactly what I did. The ashram really introduced me to certain principles that I very much believe prepared me for this path, but I'll just talk about that right now. They introduced me to the idea that we have a mind and that we think thoughts and that we can actually be aware of these thoughts and that we can take a step back from our thoughts and just observe everything that's going on. And really, it imbued the principle of awareness and the fact that I have a mind. And so I started doing all these practices in the ashram and practicing yoga, and my life really got so much better. And I know I raised my vibration there. And after about a year, it was time for me to go home and to go back to Canada. And so I went home, I returned to high school. I had taken a break from high school to go to the ashram. So I returned to high school, and I had a lot of contrasts and experiences there too with school, but everything was in my life was so much better. It was much better than what it had been like over a year ago when I wanted to kill myself. And so I was just living my life, being a teenager, whatever. And then I found out that the ashram in the summer, in the upcoming summer, was having a yoga teacher training, and my parents thought that it was a really good idea for me to do that. And so I bought my ticket to Greece and I just came to the ashram. And literally, I not in a million years was I expecting like what was to come. I got to the ashram. In the ashram, we all just like live in rooms, and it's very rare that you're in a room by yourself. You basically have like your assigned roommates. And when I got there, Mana was one of my roommates, and I remember sitting down on the bed. I had just arrived, and forget what I had even asked her, but she basically in those next few days proceeded to tell me about what she just spoke about at the beginning of our podcast. So some of these fundamental concepts and laws, like the law of attraction, the emotions. And when I heard these words, I just instantly recognized them as the truth. And it felt like that thing that I had been searching for my whole life, those questions that I had about who I am, like what my life is, where I come from, they just proceeded to get answered one by one by one. And also understand that in this moment, I was getting these answers intellectually. So she was saying things with words, and I was just receiving them. And at a deeper level, I was just recognizing them as a truth. And it really sparked this thirst and this interest. Like, I was thirsty. When I heard Mono tell me these things, I just became thirsty. And this intention and this fire started to basically blaze inside of me. And we, over that summer, it was about 3 months, Mono told me some very, very essential things about how we create our reality, who we are, where our emotions come from, how to like observe our thoughts, how to use our feelings, emotions and feelings. And I practiced little by little and I absorbed what she said. And then it was time for me to leave the ashram, and I came back to Canada. And I think it was about a year that I had where I wasn't really in contact with Mana because she was still living in the ashram. But I came back, I got my first job, and I proceeded to just have many contrasts. And Mono and I eventually reconnected. I think it was about a year after I left the ashram. We were staying in contact, but not very regularly. And in my first year of university, we started to talk again very frequently. So in my first year of university, I was like, viruses were coming out like crazy. I had a lot of contrasts, and Mono was there with me every step of the way, and we spoke very regularly, and she proceeded to guide me and basically walk by my side. And she started to teach me basically how to take control of my mind, how to deal with these contrasts, how to be a virus fighter. And this process between us continued for about, I would say, the entirety of the 4 years I was in university. We spoke pretty much regularly the entire time, maybe with like a month break here and there. And I started to battle, and I started to battle these viruses. And there were many times where I came out victorious on the other end. And in the meantime, my mind started to change. Beliefs were being broken, and then new beliefs were taking their place. And the entire time I was just like a player in the center of this big game. And I started to see the synchronicity and to follow the signs and to understand the viruses. And this was really my process. It was how I learned about all of these concepts that Mono was telling me about. And I mean, at some point, I think I graduated from being like a kindergartner to being in middle school. And I just continued this process and just continued to learn more and more. And now I avidly follow my life, and I'm very aware of everything that's going on. And we continue to discuss the viruses, and I'm starting to really see the vision of the Supermind company, because Mono has gotten projections and just these ideas from her own. While I still haven't gotten them, but I do understand everything that's happening on an intellectual level. And I'm just continuing down this path because it's just been so much fun. It feels like my calling, and it feels like home for me. And ever since I've started this work, there hasn't been a moment where I've felt those questions again. Who am I? Why am I here? I'm so certain of what my purpose is, and I continue to discover more about my own purpose every day, and I get pleasantly surprised all the time. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
What do you mean you don't know what the supermarket? Okay, when Nirvana says that she hasn't received these visions, I guess, or information, she means that she doesn't know the specifics, because our company is a very specific project. We have our own calendars, our own time, we have our own money system, and we have our own social system, the way we organize the work, everything, and our cities. And yeah, she hasn't been in communication with the OMS about these things, but you've talked about the supermind so many times, because in the end, what matters is this connection between us, because the supermind company is actually about the people who are coming together and form this new collective consciousness, the way Nirvana and I are now. Our realities have synchronized so much. It's like they're mirroring each other. We have different situations, of course, different circumstances, but the essence of the ideas right now, it seems like we are battling similar viruses. Well, yes, there are moments when we deviate, you know, she goes into her specific things. After all, she's much younger than me, and she hasn't had, I've had almost 20 years to, you know, to cover a lot of ground. And I was very, very determined, and I did so much exploring through what we call medicine, like through mushrooms and LSD and ayahuasca and peyote. I've done a lot of ceremonies, and I have done a lot of, I've had a lot of experiences in that time. Well, she hasn't had time basically to explore this world, and she doesn't understand so clearly, technically, physically, what the third dimension is. But she's walking on her own path in her own style. Her mind is different from mine, because she's a different generation. Her mind, she's already come with a different mind, like with the next generation mind. And I can see the difference. And she knows that the other superminds are out there, because this whole thing makes too much sense, you know, to both of us. And you've had what? You've had like 3-4 very epic ceremonies, and You've had this communication and this connection and this sense of the presence of the others out there many times.
Yeah. Oh no, for sure. Like, I know exactly what the company is. What we're doing right now is like the real beginning of our company. I just haven't gotten like very, what's the word, detailed and like vivid visions of exactly how our world is going to be set up, et cetera. But I know exactly like what our company is, the essence of it.
You want to experience it as it's happening, and it's not necessary for you to know. I know stuff, like I know down to the last tile of some building here where I am, where it's going to be. But that's an obstacle many times. Now the OMS are telling me I have to forget all that, because that was a vision to show me what the project is. But it's just a blueprint. It's a project, after all. It's not a done deal. And because of my, you know, the remnants of my virus mind, which are not little, and they're like, I've got big chunks of virus mind still in my head, of course. And because of that, I tend to stick, you know, to these visions and think of them that they have to manifest in exactly this form, otherwise they wouldn't manifest. Because I fell in love with this vision. I was like, yes, I want this specific thing you just showed me. I want this house, okay? But they say, you know, okay, let it happen, and it could be more than that, and it could happen in so many different ways, and you cannot predict or you know, navigate this process with your little human mind. You're just a part of this whole thing. And that's what I am. I'm not in any way a leader of this company or a founder or anything. I'm just the first who got this idea. And maybe there are others out there who also got the idea. I don't know yet. I have, you know, I can only speculate. But we have talked about the different options. But in the end, it's about your individual game and cleaning your own mind from viruses. And when the time comes, we're going to come together, and we're going to be able to, you know, continue this process of building our world. After all, we're talking about a brand new world on this planet and shifting into a completely different dimension and a reality that's the opposite of what's predominantly going on in this system right now. It's a different system, an entirely different system with a different time, which is the most important thing. We're following a calendar and a clock that are synchronized with the natural rhythms of our planet, the moon and the sun. And that's going to define us as a different society, a different species, basically, the conscious humans. And there are many people out there who are on this path, and some of them will be a part of a Supermind company, even though they don't know it yet. Others will not be a part of the Supermind company. They will just, you know, expand their mind on their own, a part of different projects and so on. But our project is extremely specific and concrete. We know I've been told, you know, very specific things. Well, not told. I usually just get transported into this projected reality and I live inside it for a little while and I watch and I see how it is. And it's like I've been there, so I can tell you how it functions and everything. But again, those are visions that just help me build the idea, understand the kind of reality and society we're forming. The OMS are forming. Again, I'm just one of the millions of elements of this entire project. And not everybody needs to know it so fully, because I guess my role is different. Also because, again, you're like almost 20 years younger than me. I mean, in 20 years, who knows where you're going to be and where I'm going to be. So you have your role to play. And for now, you're Supermind number... the second one, number one, because I call myself Supermind number zero. And I just want to give numbers to everybody according to the chronological order according to which they appear.
So now it's we're an on epic a mission journey. To find number two.
Yeah, we're looking for number two, by the way. We don't know if we're going to get number two, three, four together or like 10 at once or just one single person. But I would prefer if it's only one person, because it's just too much. And we can't even grasp the magnitude of this. Seeing how our realities synchronize and how... you know, the game evolves when we get so fully connected, the two of us. Mm-hmm. We can't even imagine what will happen when a third person appears.
No.
But yeah, that's it for today. And thank you very much for listening. And if you feel like the ultimate truth that I presented today seems logical to you, and there's something that resonates deep within you with those words and everything we're saying, even if you don't understand everything, don't worry about it at all. If you feel this connection to us, please just write to us. The email again is supermindco, that's supermindco@gmail.com. And we'll just add you to our chat, I guess. We communicate mostly on Messenger. And we can start the game with you. If you're ready to be a virus fighter, we'll be so happy to guide you on this path and help you see the viruses and, you know, just give you any kind of assistance we can. Because if you are born a virus fighter, that's your destiny. You can't escape it.
Yep, you can't. You will definitely come. Can't escape it, because trust me, we have tried.
Yes, we have. When we're in the thickest of the contrast. By the way, we never said what contrast means. Contrast are those situations that are painful. And it's called contrast because from these situations, the opposite is created. And it is our biggest challenge to be able to turn away and see what new reality is forged from these negative so-called experiences. And we are striving to reach the point where the contrast isn't painful anymore. But for now, you know, understanding your contrast and what it creates and how to get aligned with this new perspective that comes from these experiences, this is the greatest mastery of the game. So yeah, have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to us. And next time we're going to talk about emotions, the most important tool we use in this game of reality creation.
Emotions.
And let us be wrong. That's our motto.
And let us be wrong.
And the other one is mind your mind. Dear Supermind.
Mind your mind. All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.